I'd like us to think together, if we can, about the shepherds in Luke chapter 2. See if we can learn something from what was said to the shepherds and what they did in response to what they were told. First of all, why did God send the angels to shepherds? Why not farmers? Why not builders? Why not stonemasons? Why not vineyard dressers? Why shepherds? There must be a reason for that, surely. There's a reason for everything that God does. So, first of all, why did God send the angel to bring this news to shepherds? Thinking about it, it seemed to me there were at least two reasons that we can think about. First of all, the shepherds were the providers of lambs for the sacrificial purposes. Secular historians tell us that in many places there were people whose whole occupation was breeding sheep for the very large demand that was made for lambs. Remember when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, that 120,000 lambs were sacrificed. Can't imagine how many that is, can you? 120,000 lambs. During one point in Israel's history, Misha, the king of Moab, paid an annual tribute to Israel of 100,000 lambs. See, lambs were needed every day for the daily sacrifice, morning and night. When the time of Passover came round, every family needed a lamb. And there was this continual demand throughout Israel, not for just the odd lamb here and there, but for hundreds, thousands of lambs all the time. And so the shepherds, as the carers of the flock, the breeders of the sheep, would have been responsible for the providing of the lambs. Their job would have been to carefully nurture them and protect them and provide them for the temple sacrifices and for God's people on those annual occasions when they all needed them to sacrifice. Then the shepherds are the most ancient and honourable trade of all, because Abel, Adam's son, was a keeper of sheep. And you remember that God had respect to Abel for the offering that he brought when he sacrificed a sheep as opposed to Cain, who brought of the offerings of the ground and was not accepted. Remember also in the case of Abraham, when he was told to offer up his son Isaac for a sacrifice, and he took Isaac, and Isaac said, "What's going on? And where's the lamb?" And his father said, "God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So there's been this idea of the provision of a lamb right from ancient times. Lambs had to be provided. It seems therefore fitting that it was to the shepherds that the message of the newborn king was brought the good news of the birth of the Saviour, who is the Lamb of God. These providers of lambs were the first to hear of the greater provision of God, of the Lamb. So that what they and their forebears have been doing for generations in providing lambs for sacrifice is now being done by God himself. And so we can think of the words of John this morning as we meditate on the birth of Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. Perhaps also there is a second reason why God chose the shepherds to receive this good news. Because by their very calling as shepherds, they were types of Christ, the Good Shepherd. So we think of the other aspect of their work in caring for, leading, and protecting the flock in their care. But the Good Shepherd, you remember, tells us that he is the Good Shepherd, and the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Way back in the times of Jacob, when he was pronouncing the blessing as he lay dying on the 12 tribes, you find this statement. It's found in the blessing of Joseph. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So from early times, the idea is God is going to provide a shepherd. A shepherd to look after his sheep. The shepherd that David could sing of and declare, the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd of whom the prophets wrote to Israel, describing the relationship between the Lord and his chosen people. He is the shepherd, and they are the sheep. And so for the second reason, it seems to me befitting that the message should come to the shepherds. And as they paid homage to the babe at Bethlehem, here is a group of shepherds worshipping the chief shepherd. For so is he described in the Word of God. Well, then we'll be looking at this section in Luke from, where are we, from verse 9. Or from verse 8, really, through to verse 20. So I want to divide up into four sections with regard to the shepherds. They heard, they came, they saw, and they testified. But first of all, we notice that they were just going about their normal duties. As those who were caring for sheep, it was their normal task to stay with them, to provide for them, to care for them. And so verse 8 tells us that they were just there in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These were the night watchers among the shepherds. And then, on this memorable night, something most amazing happened. They were spellbound as they listened to a message brought to them from the angel of the Lord. Verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Not many people have seen angels. Some have, a number of illustrations of that through the Old Testament. But certainly in New Testament times, in modern times, very few people would say that they'd seen angels. Their normal ministry is unseen. They're very real as the servants of God. And they go about that work of serving God and serving the people of God. But in an unseen way. There are indications in the Bible that angels are present when God is worshipped. There's indications, particularly in the early chapters in Hebrews, that angels have a very specific ministry toward the people of God. But we cannot say we've ever seen an angel or yet heard an angel talk. But the shepherds both saw and heard the angel. And with the coming of the angel, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. The angels came in glory. Now I can't tell you what that means. I can't explain what the glory of the Lord is. Not in any adequate way. We may think of bright light as being one indication of the glory of God. And that would be true. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So one can imagine that in the darkness of this night, the light of the glory of God shone round about them. There's this maybe a dazzlingly bright light accompanying the angels as he came and spake to them. Secondly, there must be something heavenly about the glory of the Lord. They'd come from heaven, and they bring with them something of the spirit of the heavenly places. When we think of the glory of the Lord, we cannot help but think of heaven, a place which is holy, sin-free, suffering-free, darkness-free, sorrow-free, a holy, happy place. There's something very heavenly about the glory of the Lord. And then, of course, there's something you can't think of the glory of the Lord without thinking of the Lord himself, the Lord of glory. So they come bringing with them, as it were, in a visible way, something of the glory of God, light, holiness, love, resplendence in the reflection of the essence of God himself. But the main purpose of their coming was not to draw attention to themselves and the glory from which they came, but to bring a message. A message that began with those memorable words, "Fear not." For there is this ingredient in the glory of God. It is calculated to instill fear in the heart of men. If you were to suddenly be confronted with an angel who come from the glory of God, what would you want to do? You'd probably want to crawl under the seat to get away from the glory and the light and the splendor and the heavenly holiness of this visitor. But fear not, was his words. He hadn't come to judge them. He hadn't come to destroy them. He'd come to bring them the most wonderful news that ever man heard. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This angel who had come from the glory of God, from the presence of God, with the authority of God, brings now the message of God. "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Here is good news. The most wonderful news. Here's the news that the earth has been waiting for centuries. And it is to be to all people. So there's a sense then, isn't there, in which the message of the gospel goes forth from this point onwards. The first gospel messengers, as we shall see, were these shepherds. What a message they had to deliver. And it's the same message we have to deliver today. But more of that anon. So they received the good news, which should be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. That is a wonderful verse, verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. If we could carry that verse with us into the day, then it would be a good day. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour. The message of salvation delivered to the shepherds. Their Saviour. He is Christ the Lord. Moreover, God would give a sign to the shepherds. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's a remarkable sign, isn't it? Here is the eternal Son of God. Just as the angels have come from glory, so has the Son of God come from glory. But you won't find him with a halo round his head. You won't find him with visible tokens of majesty and power and glory. You'll find a little baby tightly wrapped round with swaddling bands, lying in a manger. A feeding trough for animals. That's the sign. What is a sign? It's a sign of humility. The high and holy God has come down to this lowly place to be born of a virgin and laid in a manger. And as the angel completes his message, suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. The birth of Christ is the delight of heaven. It is the subject of the song of angels. And it's punctuated with this message from God to man, peace, goodwill toward men. It's utterly vain of men to seek for peace anywhere than in Jesus Christ. He has come, and this is the message, this is what God is bringing to men in Christ. Peace and goodwill. God and man reconciled. All bitter enmity between a holy God and a sinful man swept away in Christ. How important it is then to have a personal relationship with Christ. There's no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked. There's only peace in Jesus. So they heard this message, a glorious message. They beheld the glory of God. And secondly, they came. I was going to say they obeyed the command to go to Bethlehem, but studying the verse, there isn't a direct command to go to Bethlehem, but there is an implied command, isn't there? You shall find the babe. So if they were going to find the babe, then they had to go to Bethlehem. They came. You remember when we were studying Stephen in his speech before his martyrdom, one thing that he said that the people had received the law by the disposition of angels and had not kept it. Well, now we have the reception of the gospel by the disposition of angels, and they kept it. And what a wonderful example they set to us. They came and they found. It's good if we have heard the gospel. It's good if we are not ignorant of the way of salvation. It's good if we are convinced that there is no salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But that isn't enough on its own. Because we, like the shepherds, must come to him. We must come by faith and worship him and trust in him. Two things about their coming that I would emphasize this morning. First of all, they encouraged one another to come. I've said before that there is a ministry open to every Christian believer. It is the ministry of encouragement. And it is a ministry that is not taken up very much today. We get a lot of discouragement, but not very much encouragement. When did you last speak to a Christian brother and a sister and try and encourage them in following the Lord, in serving him? Well, these shepherds set a good example as they said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." "Come on," they said. "But what about the sheep?" "Never mind the sheep. Come on." Because we've received a message. A message that cannot remain secret. A message that must be published. Let us go even unto Bethlehem. And secondly, their example is that they came with haste. They didn't dilly-dally around. They came straight away. They'd received the message. They'd heard the good news. They'd been told where the Saviour was. Straight off they go. Thirdly, they saw. Verse 17, when they had seen it, that is, Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, they saw it exactly as the Lord told them it would be. God is always true to his word. Whatever he says to you about himself, about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the gospel, is absolutely true. You may rely upon it completely. And to the final detail, there was the babe just as the angels had said. Then finally, they testified. They gave their testimony. First of all, in verse 17, when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They gave their testimony, first of all, to Joseph and Mary. And they said, you know, the angel told us this is how it would be, and it is. they would have said, the angel brought these good tidings that this baby, Mary, that you're holding is our Saviour. That's what God has told us. He is our Saviour. He is the one who's come to save us from our sins, to redeem us from the curse of the law, to give unto us eternal life, to open the doors of paradise. He is our Saviour. That was their testimony. Then in verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. They talked about Jesus. And in so doing, they glorified God and they praised God. They were eyewitnesses of the greatest miracle that the world had ever seen. They were the most privileged people, apart from Mary and Joseph, on the face of the earth. They were the first to come and see God incarnate, the babe lying in a manger. And they could not keep it to themselves. They had to testify. Well now, just thinking then of those four things of the shepherds, they speak to us, don't they? They describe the life of a Christian. They describe Christian experience. It always begins at the same point, with the word of God. God has spoken. If God had not spoken, then we could not speak. We would have nothing to say. But God has spoken. Have we heard what the Lord has to say? I trust that many of us have heard the Lord speaking to us through his word, through the preaching of the word. He doesn't send any more angels to preach the gospel. He sends weak, faulty, feeble, frail men. Men entrusted with the same message that the angels were entrusted with. Men who have the same purpose that the angels had, to make known something of the glory of God in the gift of his dear Son. Have you heard? Do you know the way of salvation? Secondly, then, they came. They came to see. They came to grasp the facts, to appreciate the sign that God had given to them. They came to prove the reality of what they had heard. The reality of what we have heard can be discovered when we come to Christ. Everything that the gospel says is true. The gospel says that Jesus receives sinners. How do you know? Well, you know because God has said so. You also know because you've come to him as a sinner and he's received you. That's what the shepherds are setting forth this morning. And when you see, when you know something yourself of the grace of God, it's not given for you only. It is given for you personally. We all need a personal faith in the one Saviour. But receiving that gift of grace personally, then it is our place to testify, to speak of the Saviour, the wonderful Saviour who has saved us from our sins. So let me close with that thought, friends, this morning. Has the Saviour saved you from the guilt and power and condemnation of your sins? Then say so. Testify before men to the glory of God. First, the testimony of the shepherds was to Joseph and Mary. They speak to us of the church. Of course, they were believers. And to them was entrusted this amazing privilege of the Son of God. They testified to the church. And then they testified abroad to whoever would hear it, because this news has got to be spread abroad. This news must be told around the world, because that is the divinely appointed way whereby the message of God will reach the hearts of those upon whom he has set his love from all eternity. May God bless his word to us this morning. Bless you all.